Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It's 7:06 here on O'Connor and Company, waking you up, Washington, D.C., every single morning. And boy, oh boy, do we have a busy one ahead of us. Let's get right to it. Coming up at 7:35, Robin Ficker, one of the candidates for the Republican nomination for governor in Maryland. 7:45, Ken Klukowski, our old friend and guest here on the program, worked in the Justice Department, now finds himself cited by Liz Cheney's January 6th committee, and he's hopping mad about it. 8:05, Jeremy Dice, First Liberty Institute attorney who won the day yesterday in the Supreme Court, defending that high school football coach who prayed at midfield. 8:15, Miranda Devine of the New York Post on the laptop from hell. And then 8:35, Rebecca Kaesling, she's a pro-life advocate. She was actually the child of a rape. And, well, that's one of the issues we're going to bring up right now with our guest. Julie Gunlock is with us as well. Julie, boy, that is a busy morning ahead.
I'm already tired.
Let's get right to it. Alexandria DeSantis is one of the best writers on the abortion issue over at National Review. She's a visiting fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, and her brand new book with Ryan Anderson is Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. Alexandria, congratulations. Boy, talk about timing on this book. Well done, you.
Thank you so much. It's pretty exciting.
When you say how abortion harms everything and solves nothing, you're not just talking about the obvious impact of the death of an innocent unborn child and also the emotional and physical impact on the woman who had the abortion. There's actually much more to it in terms of our society, correct?
That's exactly right, yeah. I mean, this is, of course, a fundamental harm is that you're killing an innocent human being in every abortion, but if that's what's going on here, how could that not harm every element of our society? You know, how could Roe v. Wade not have, you know, destroyed our legal system, our politics? How is our culture affected by this? Yeah.
And it also has affected our politics, certainly, in terms of how, we've seen in the last 72 hours exactly how the left, the proponents of abortion, the abortion enthusiasts at this point, forget about safe, legal, and rare, they're enthusiastic and shouting their abortions, the political left in this country, and the kind of hysterical response we've seen and the lies that we've seen about the Dobbs decision sort of focuses on how ugly things have gotten in these 50 years because of this issue.
No, it's true. It's almost like they couldn't have proved the point of our book any better. It's sad to see, but I think they've become so reliant on Roe v. Wade and not having to make the case for unlimited abortion themselves. You know, they can just point to the court and say, this is the law of the land. You have to listen to Roe. And Roe's gone now. And now they have to make the case for something that's gruesome and that very few people actually support.
You know, I want to talk about how we're going to hear a lot more debate about this. We're going to hear a lot more conversations, and I think that's great, and I really welcome that conversation. But talk to us a little bit how the conversation has changed over the years and how technology, we can see these babies, 4D. You know, we can see what is growing inside a woman's womb very early on. So talk to us about the role of technology and how really it's going to help us win this debate.
Yeah, I think it's made a huge difference. And it's funny, I just saw a Facebook post from Princeton professor Robert George the other day talking about how he went to a pro-choice friend's house and they ended up having a lovely conversation about his new granddaughter who was being welcomed because he had an ultrasound photo on the refrigerator, right? And, mm-hmm. and even this person who supports abortion knew and was happy to talk about this coming life because when the child's wanted, everybody knows an ultrasound is a baby. And suddenly we only forget when we're supposed to think that the child is unwanted and therefore inconvenient and bad.
Yeah. We also saw amazing statements. I think it was Senator Chris Van Hollen who says that this overturning Roe will deny women full and legal access to our society. In other words, if a woman actually does what they were biologically designed to do, and that is bear a child, that they can't be full and legal equal citizens in our country. Boy, what an insidious message that is. But that's pretty much the dogma, is it not, for the pro-abortion left?
It is, and this is something we talk about at length in a full chapter, just how harmful abortion has been to women, not only, you know, physically and psychologically for women who've actually had abortions, but just for every woman in our society to live in a society where even the Supreme Court in Planned Parenthood versus Casey echoes this idea, right, that women can't participate in the social and economic life of our nation if they bear children, which is something that the female body is designed to do, right? The idea is that the male body is the standard and women are somehow this defective body if they have children, if they become mothers, and we need abortion to kind of get rid of that whole possibility if it doesn't work out for us or we're not interested.
No, we are seeing some really horrible lies out there, especially on Twitter, people saying ectopic. Larry and I just talked about this last hour about ectopic pregnancies or miscarriages being just the same as abortion. It's clear that those on the left and even it's pretty upsetting to see medical professionals actually lie this way. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're just going to lie. What is the best way? What is your advice to people as they want to help educate people about abortion, about the cost to women, emotional and psychological, and what actually happens to the baby? What advice do you give?
Yeah, well, this is really why we wrote this book. We didn't know what the timing was going to be in terms of the case. You know, we couldn't have dreamed it would be quite this close, but it really is a pro-life roadmap, and we hope that people who disagree with us can get something from it. It's reasonable and fair, but it really is a chock full of resources. It has about 50 pages of endnotes for anybody who wants to just kind of dive in and get their feet wet and know where to start with the pro-life argument. So I really would encourage people to pick it up if they want to kind of learn how to talk about the issue.
Alexandra DeSantis is our guest. You know her byline, of course, at National Review, and she has written a brand new book with Ryan Anderson. It's called Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. Listen, we're talking about the left and Democrats and the pro-abortion lobby, and we should, certainly. But I've been trying to make the case for the last several days that conservatives have made huge mistakes over the last 50 years as well, partly by being too aligned with corporations and big business. I'm all for the free market, but big business generally is not for the free market. And the fact is, big businesses and corporations, they have benefited from women not becoming mothers. They have benefited. Look at all of them bending over backwards now to spend money on their female employees to fly them to other states to have abortions. Shouldn't conservatives lead the charge right now, Alexandra, in trying to change the conversation within the corporate boardroom about encouraging women in the workplace to also become mothers and live out everything that they can be as a woman in this society? We're rich enough and we're successful enough to be able to do it, especially now that we're all used to working from home. I mean, we could take the lead on this thing.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the crazy thing is that these corporations pitch paying for abortion travel as this wonderful pro-woman policy. And meanwhile, I'm thinking, at the very least, you should be offering the same benefits to, you know, couples who are traveling for an adoption. You should be offering the same benefits to mothers who are just taking maternity leave because they're having a child. But the conversation's all about abortion. And I think it's very clear, it's cynical, but true. The bottom line is at stake here. And women are more valuable to companies if they don't become pregnant, if they don't follow through and give birth and become a mother, because they'll leave the workforce.
You know, one other thing about this book, and it's such a great title, too, because it is so true, Tearing Us Apart, because you can't have a civil political conversation in this country over the last several decades because the political left and frankly, listen, if you think that this is the murder of an unborn child, you're going to get very emotional when debating politics about this issue. And if you think that conservative voters are trying to subjugate women in a Handmaid's Tale bonnet, you're going to get very emotional about this thing. I'm curious, Alexandra, now that this literally is in the hands of the voters and we're going to have multiple elections across all 50 states about this very emotional issue, do we have a danger of it becoming even worse?
You know, I think that is a possibility, but I wonder if it might actually become better. And I say that because on the Sunday shows this past weekend, you kind of saw, a couple of pro-life commentators here and there in these discussions where the host or the very pro-abortion person, almost it was as though they were hearing for the first time what the pro-life movement had to offer. Like, it was dawning on them that we actually think this is killing. We actually think this is not good for women. And maybe that's not a huge sign of hope, but to me it says, look, their ears are open in a way they haven't been, right?
That's a great point. Now that it actually is in the voters' hands, I think that it actually gets some of us to the table for these conversations and will change some hearts and minds. It starts with getting this book, Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. It's Alexander De Sanctis. I'm not overstating the case. You are one of the leading lights on this issue. I go to your byline every time, and I really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you both.
It is 7:16. Let's get straight to Lisa Baden now in the Hidden Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Later today on the Chris Plant Show.
And then there's Kamala Harris. It almost seems as though, Julie Gundlach, that the White House has decided that Kamala Harris should take the lead on the abortion issue on their behalf so she can be just as successful as she's been with everything else she's been in charge of.
Oh, dear. I love this part of the morning.
Thankfully, in this case, they didn't align themselves with a bunch of hired, trained children actors to echo their agreement and how wonderful Kamala Harris is. Here she is with Dana Bash.
When you think about it, in terms of what that means, in terms of democratic principles, in terms of the ideals upon which we were founded, about liberty, about freedom, I thought about it as, you know, a parent. We have two children who are in their 20s, a son and a daughter. I thought about it as a godparent of teenagers. I thought of it as an aunt of preschool children.
And a woman yourself.
And a woman myself.
Ooh.
And the daughter of a woman. And a granddaughter of a woman.
Oh, now she knows what a woman is. Now she
no.
knows.
Well, Dana had to remind her. Dana had to remind. By the way, true. You're a woman too.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. I was on the female side of the Willie Brown relationship. That's right. That was me.
Never let an opportunity go to waste.
Well, it was San Francisco. It could have been anybody, honestly. You could do anything. So I do love this. You know, somebody has likened all of her answers in an interview to somebody who's in a beauty pageant, who's like just stalling for time
totally.
And filling for time. And yeah. that I've thought about this as a parent, as a godparent, as an aunt. As a woman, as a daughter of a woman, as the granddaughter of a woman.
As a it's niece, like, as she's trying to think of every, as a third female cousin once removed.
From our father's 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 fathers. Yeah. Anyway, she finally got to the point and she realizes that those who are most in danger, it turns out, aren't the women, aren't the nieces, aren't the granddaughters. No, it's really the men who are going to suffer the most.
And when we think about it, everyone has something at risk on this. First of all, if you are a parent of sons, do think about what this means for the life of your son and what that will mean in terms of the choices he will
wow.
have.
Now, this is fantastic.
It really is.
I think basically the message for Democrats going into November and any election now where abortion might be an issue is men will suffer the worst. Having a child will ruin their lives. Babies are destructive to everything they touch.
Yes.
By the way, I welcome Kamala Harris's newfound concern about men who have to pay child support for babies that they don't want.
Right.
She's
right.
basically letting right. him off the hook here, I think.
Yes. Men should be allowed to be as promiscuous. I mean, really, really, Hunter Biden.
That's
should
right.
be the guide for young
oh my
men
God.
Today.
He is.
You can just.
He's the real victim here.
You can just leave women all over the country impregnated.
Yes.
And then, you know, and let's face it, you know, you pay a chunk for the abortion instead of a lifetime of child support payments, right? Yeah. That's the real issue at hand here.
It's again, so revealing about who they are and how they, and remember, I've been told for years now, nobody gets an abortion out of convenience and nobody uses it as birth control. Isn't that exactly what she's saying?
Every
here?
Single abortion. In this country has been the result of rape or incest, according to the Democrats right now.
Or a life-threatening illness for
right,
the mother
course.
Involved. Yes. All right, a little bit more. Oh, she wasn't done. She was then asked about Joe Biden's reelection. She was asked about inflation. And, her answer on inflation is classic Kamala Harris. We're putting it right into the museum.
She's
immediately.
A gift.
It's 7:21.
Making sense of your world.
Thanks for taking my call.
News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Greatly appreciated.
Making sense.
I actually appreciate Dana Bash's question. You know she's trying to play it easy on Kamala Harris in this interview. So she asks about inflation.
Now inflation is really high. Are you concerned about a recession? The administration said that they weren't that worried about inflation and then... That changed.
I think- that that kind of changed. You know, back before you were either clueless or you were lying. But now what are you going to do about inflation?
Both?
But here's the award-winning answer. Put this in the Hall of Fame.
I think that there can be no higher priority than what we have been clear is our highest priority, which is bringing down the costs and the prices as much as we possibly can. And we will stay focused on that.
There you go. I mean, who can argue with that logic?
Just lower the prices, please.
Yes, we just need to lower prices, and then everything will be fine. But it is, if you miss this, I think it's a priority.
There can be no higher priority than what we have been clear is our highest priority.
I'm sorry.
There can be no higher priority than what we have been clear is our highest priority.
Okay. By the way, Joe Biden running again in 24?
Your friend, the Congressman Jim Clyburn, said last week that if President Biden doesn't seek re-election, you would be first on his list in 2024. Have you talked to President Biden about re-election? And what do you say to Congressman Clyburn?
Joe Biden is running for re-election, and I will be his ticket mate.
Full stop.
Full stop. That's it.
Okay, then. I mean, who can argue with that? I mean, honestly, she's all set. I think that it's fine. Absolutely, Joe Biden is running for re-election.
Well, with that, she really hasn't. She can't really get off message there.
No, so. She's got to stick with that. I suppose
that was actually the smartest thing she's said in a while.
That's a low bar,
right?
Because she's. That's the smartest thing she said in a while because she said it right after she said.
There can be no higher priority than what we have been clear is our highest priority.
All right. Coming up, Robin Ficker wants to be your governor. He wants the Republican nomination, and he'll make his case next.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington, a Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9. On News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
W-M-A-L. It's 7:37 here on O'Connor and Company. Coming up at 7:45, Ken Klukowski, a longtime friend of this program and this person, by the way, worked at the Department of Justice, now finds himself as part of the presentation of Liz Cheney's committee on January 6th, and he's hopping mad about it. Good. 8:05, Jeremy Dice, First Liberty Institute, an attorney who won on behalf of his client, the high school football coach who dared to pray at midfield. 8:15, Miranda Devine on the laptop from hell. And then 8:35, Rebecca Kaesling, a pro-life advocate, child of the victim of rape. A really important and powerful story, Julie Gunlock. As we do hear this, this is the big argument now. What about women who got raped? What about, and to suggest that you don't care about a woman who got raped.
Right.
If you dare to think that Roe v. Wade was a horrible law and destructive and ends up in the killing of an innocent human life, well, suddenly the only answer you get is, well, clearly you don't care about rape. It's insidious and it's disgusting and it's wrong, but that doesn't stop the left from making that argument. Well, now it's made its way into the congressional race for the 7th District in Virginia. Yesley Vega is the Republican nominee. She is a member of the Prince William County Board of Supervisors. She's an immigrant from El Salvador. She served in the military, and she has been in law enforcement for over 10 years. Very attractive candidate against Abigail Spanberger. So clearly they're going to lie and throw everything they can at her. Axios website has uncovered undercover audio. Somebody taped her at some campaign event talking about this decision, and specifically talked about the argument that you're going to hear so much about, oh, what about the victims of rape? What about the victims of rape? Now, I want to play this audio for you, but first I'm going to tell you how they're lying about Yesley Vega. Here's how they're lying about her. They're saying that what you're about to hear is Yesley Vega questioning the likelihood of victims of rape getting pregnant. In other words, oh, if you get raped, you don't actually get pregnant from that act. All right? Which is ridiculous and stupid. And I don't know anybody who believes that. If you do believe it, you're a moron. That, I'm sorry, the act of sexual intercourse, even if it is the result of a rape, could end up with a pregnancy in the same way that if it was a loving act of sexual intercourse, right? I mean, it's the same act.
Sure.
It is. So they're saying that Yesley Vega, wasn't there a Senate Republican who ran for Senate in Missouri? What was his name? Aikens or?
I can't remember.
Claude Aiken. That was his name. He made this case in a debate where he said something about,
I
wasn't rape, you know, or something like that. And it was like,
well, Whoopi Goldberg also said that.
That's true. You know, Whoopi Goldberg did too.
Let's not forget.
All right. So they're lying about Yesley Vega. And they're saying Yesley Vega is so stupid and so moronic and such a dunce that she thinks that women who get raped don't get pregnant. Now I want you to listen to what Yesley Vega, because everything that they're saying is a lie. Here's what Yesley Vega actually said.
Now, the left will say, well, what about in cases of rape or incest? I'm a law enforcement officer. I became a police officer in 2011.
Yeah.
I've worked one case where as a result of a rape, the young woman became pregnant.
Really?
She's...
Now, Julie, honestly, it's on any honest listening to what she just said. She just said she's making the case that it is rare.
It's rare.
She is making the, and not biologically rare. She's making the case that, yes, women get raped, but it is very rare that that ends up in a pregnancy. Not that it can't biologically happen. It's just, it is such an exception to the general cause.
Yeah, but look, we need to consider the source of this outrage, which of course now it's spread and it's all over Twitter and all that stuff. But Axios, okay? Axios is a left-wing, it's an adjunct of the Democrat Party.
Sure.
Okay, so
they all
I'm not surprised. Everybody's got, every media person, it's like the public schools. It's like every teacher is now an activist. It's like every reporter, this isn't new, every reporter is an activist, okay? So they either ignore stories that are important, that the right cares about, or they lie about what Republicans say, and they, of course, amplify lies that Democrats say, and they cover stories that Democrats care about. So this is, I mean, we need to always remember this, and this is going to continue. We just talked to Alexandra DeSantis. We need to be ready for this fight, and we need to be ready for these conversations on abortion, but we also need to be ready for these distortions.
Yeah.
And this is what's going to happen. What Vega said is completely reasonable. She is talking about the what we're seeing out there. I kind of referenced it earlier in the show where I said, you know, every abortion in this country is the result of a rape or incest.
Because that's what
they're
going to tell
you. Saying, right?
That's exactly.
So now
what
nobody can get they're a victim of a crime, and now that, right. And Vega was simply saying, like, that's rare. It does happen. Of course, it happens.
Right. Now the person, and so obviously somebody is trying to entrap her with this undercover audio and posing as a voter. And so, of course, Yesley Vega is already going to sort of ingratiate herself and try because she's campaigning. Right. So the person follows up and says, I've heard that it's harder for a woman to get pregnant if she's been raped. Have you heard that? So obviously trying to bait her into it. All Yesley Vega says to that is, I don't know. I haven't seen any studies. She says, I'm processing what you're saying. It wouldn't surprise me, is what she says. But she doesn't definitively say one way or the other.
No, and I don't, you know, look, she handled herself perfectly well. That is how you handle yourself. And let's talk about Project Veritas catching some Democrats and some of these activists and Planned Parenthood people undercover. None of them handled these people. Boy, some of the things that Project Veritas.
Oh, but
Veritas,
no, that's entrapment and lies,
and it's
deceitful, and it doesn't get any coverage.
Boy, some of the stuff that they've captured. What
of
she
course.
Said here is completely legitimate and appropriate and exactly the answer she should have given.
Left,
there's nothing wrong with it.
The left is terrified of Yesley Vega.
Yes,
they are terrified of her as an individual, as a politician, and also as being part of the Republican wave that is coming.
Nancy Pelosi tried to kill her kid.
Oh, no, that was...
Oh, sorry, Ron. Sorry,
Ron. That was a congresswoman from Texas.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
They are terrified of Yesley Vega, and they're trying to destroy her and slime her. And that's what Democrats are going to do. Shame on news organizations. Shame on news organizations that repeat this lie. She was saying that as a law enforcement officer in over 10 years, she had only encountered one case of a woman who was raped who got pregnant. That is not questioning whether it's possible. It is explaining exactly what she saw on the ground as a law enforcement agent. And I assure you, all of the reporters who were lying about this story, they've never even done a ride-along with a cop, let alone actually worn the badge and handled a victim of rape in the way Yesley Vega has.
Let's also talk about, you know, some of these restrictions. If you are raped, it is likely that you will, you know, receive some medical care. Maybe not, but, you know, if you're really going to wait till after 12 weeks to get an abortion.
Right. Or in Virginia, where this was raised, it's 15 weeks.
15 weeks. You're really going to wait. Like, you know, it's my understanding that women who get an abortion after rape do so because they want all evidence of that violent attack gone. Right now, right. May make me feel uncomfortable, but the idea that you would wait, oh, let's wait, you know, 15 weeks before I get this abortion, you're going to do it. It makes sense that you would do it much earlier than that.
Well, listen, and again, that's even besides the point when it comes to the lie that's being told about Yesley Vega, the Republican candidate right now. And again, shame on news organizations who are repeating this without using any kind of intelligence to scrutinize it. And one other thing, at 8:35 this morning, we will speak with Rebecca Kaesling. She is, in fact, the product of a rape. She is a living, human, beautiful, dynamic individual. And she is alive today because her mother, the victim of rape, did not get an abortion. And you'll hear her story coming up at 8:35. It's 7:45 now. WMAL traffic and weather every 10 minutes. Well, normally, Julie Gundlach, you know, we'd have the great Ken Klukowski as an expert guest on the Constitution and the Supreme Court to discuss the groundbreaking decisions that were handed down over the last week. But our friend Ken finds himself in the middle of Liz Cheney's witch hunt over on Capitol Hill, and he joins us now. Ken, my friend, good to hear your voice. How are you, sir?
Larry, it's always great to be with you, but I'll tell you, I'm used to being on your show to talk about the news, not to be part of the news. So yeah, this is an odd circumstance, but it's great to be with you all the same. Well,
let's get to it. We've known each other for many, many years, going on 12, 13 years now, Ken, believe it or not. And I know you worked in the office of OMB for a while in the Trump administration. And then I remember when you got a gig over at the Justice Department. Very cool. It had been in the making for a while. So now tell me what's being misrepresented here by Liz Cheney and the whole crew there at this January 6th committee, because they made it sound like you were handpicked and placed there to coordinate challenges to the Electoral College, right? Am I getting this wrong? Because that seems like how they're characterizing this.
You're getting it exactly right, Larry. And as you know, because you're right, you and I have been friends for years, and you remember when I joined the White House, and I even think I told you in the early days of being in the White House, I'm like, well, I want to do a full tour of duty and serve my country well there. And I hope if I do well, I might even be able to go over then to the Justice Department.
I remember it vividly. I read this story, Ken, and I was like, wait a minute. Ken was telling me that he was hoping to get over to DOJ like in the, you know, years ago before the election. It's insane.
That's
going to get indicted.
careful. You're going to get a subpoena next year. Everyone I knew that was my plan of how I hoped to build my own career while I was serving my country, was going from the White House to the DOJ Civil Division, where I would get the broadest possible courtroom experience doing really cool case representing my countries, and that was the plan all along. So I had always thought the big picture, Larry, is, you know, when you're doing about a dozen hours of sworn testimony, you're always concerned when it's a hostile political environment that you're like, you know, you worry that something that you don't cover, that there's a gap in the information they have, mm-hmm. that people, instead of giving the benefit of the doubt, that when they're behind closed doors, they might make cynical or hostile assumptions about things where they don't have information, mm-hmm. and that false assumption is what's going to come out. It never hit me that on something that I covered with the committee in such detail, and I gave them, I pointed them to documents, I told them people they could talk to corroborate it, I gave precise names and dates of communications, that they had copies of some of those things, that in doing all that, I figured, well, as long as we cover it and I tell the truth, everything will be fine. And we had spent countless, however much time, on exactly what my chronology of service was and when I went to DOJ and why. And yeah, when it comes to the move from White House to DOJ, I thought that was abundantly covered. You know, that it started in the summer of 2020 is when I got interviewed on the White House side. And then my first interview on the DOJ side was September 10, 2020 with someone in Bill Barr's office, not the civil division. It's the AG's office. And I got preliminarily approved, and I was just put in the queue for the next opening in the civil division. And when that process was ongoing, Jeff Clark was the head of the environment division. He was not the head of the civil division. The head of the civil division was Assistant Attorney General Jody Hunt. His full name is Joseph Hunt. And so, I mean, he wasn't even on the scene when this was all going on.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was so abundantly covered by the committee that when Liz Cheney, I'm on family vacation out of state, and all of a sudden I'm getting phone calls, and my email is blowing up, and Twitter is blowing up with, you know, and then I see the quotes that she said, that here I was working with John Eastman, and there was this plan with Jeff Clark, and I would be planted, you know, in the Justice Department to help. I mean, the civil division does not handle election matters. I was going to a part of DOJ that doesn't even normally touch elections. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not part of the jurisdiction or portfolio. And so, anyways, I could go on forever, but yeah, this has just been astounding.
Well, you know, I'm so sorry this has happened to you, and honestly, especially on a family vacation, that is particularly cruel. But you have been so upfront with this committee. You have been so cooperative. You've sat for hours for depositions with this committee. Have you heard from anyone at the committee?
No, not directly. So that's where I just, you know, through my public statement and my lawyers, I had my lawyers contact the committee and said, you know, we call on the committee to just release all 12 hours of my transcript.
Yeah.
You know, it's whatever I'm talking about, whatever it is, you know, no redactions, no paraphrasing. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of pages of transcript, and just get it all out there so that you, Julie, and everyone else, you can read for yourself exactly what I said when I was asked these questions.
Yeah. What's wrong with transparency there, Liz? Well, we know what's wrong. Ken, they're messing with the wrong guy. You're a nice guy, and you got a sunny disposition and a smile on your face all the time, but you will fight like hell for the truth, and I can't wait to watch you do it. Hang in there, my friend. And
thanks, Larry. Appreciate
your vacation. Unbelievable. It's 7:50.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.